And welcome back to Coast AM, our Christmas Eve, Christmas Day extravaganza. We'll do it again tomorrow night as well. This segment, we will take your phone calls on Angels and Miracles with Rosemary Ellen Guiley next on Coast to Coast AM. Now, there he is, producer Tom Danheiser, works with executive producer Lisa Lyon. Tom is also the executive producer of our television program, Beyond Belief, and is also responsible for my events bookings whenever I travel and speak all around the country. So he's doing triple duties these days, and he does it very, very well. As a matter of fact, he's back in the L.A. studios working Christmas Eve and Christmas Day night for you as well, as most of the staff does all the time. We're going to go to your calls in just a moment. Angels and Miracles with Rosemary Ellen Guiley. Rosemary, I can't think of a better time to talk about angels and miracles than the Christmas season. How about you?
We always think of angels at Christmas time. They're part of our carols, our art, the whole story of the birth of Jesus. It has many angels in it. Angels herald his birth to the shepherds. They're present at the nativity. And angels play a role in his spiritual life as well. They're present with him, and there's an angel who's with him in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they've been portrayed in art following his spiritual path, the crucifixion, the resurrection. So they're very much a part of the Christmas spirit.
Well, they sure are. And Rosemary, we'll go to these calls in just a second. They're lining up for you, all kinds of things. Let me ask you this. In terms of demons and angels, is there a battle going on there at all?
Yes, there is. And the forces of light and darkness are in constant tension, a push and a pull. And that's part of our spiritual path on Earth to find the proper road between the two and to overcome the forces of darkness. And the ranks of the demons come from fallen angels. And the story is told about the angel Lucifer, who is full of pride and is cast out of heaven. And angels who follow him, one-third of the heavenly host, go with him. And they fall to earth and become the ranks of the demons, whose role is to tempt, to torment, to try and turn people away from God and from the path of righteousness. And these forces are present in all of life, in the whole history of the earth, the whole history of humanity. And human beings struggle against these forces playing out in many ways, small and large. And the forces of good, the good angels, work in opposition to that. And, of course, there have been many prophecies about a final battle between the armies of light and the armies of darkness, and whether or not that will bring an end time and, you know, a resurrection into a new state of being. But on a daily life basis, we deal with these all the time. Every time we have to make a choice between taking an easy way or doing the right thing, or you know, maybe doing something we shouldn't. Those are the forces of darkness at work.
All right, let's go to the calls. Carol is in Mississippi. Welcome to the program. Carol, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, Mr. Norrie. It's such a thank you for taking my phone call.
You are very welcome, Carol.
I, during Katrina, my husband and I kept running back and forth from the front door to the back door because the water started rising and our subdivision started going underwater. And my husband called me to the front door and he says, babe, you better get some plastic and some old towels. He says, it looks like it's going to be coming up. It was already coming up on that little stoop.
Oh, geez.
So I got him the towels, and I ran to the back door to see what was going on there. And the water was already lapping on the back stoop also. I opened the door up real wide, and I looked up at the sky, and I says, "Dear Jesus, please help my friends, please help my enemies, and please help me." George, I no sooner got that out of my mouth, and the water started receding.
Oh, my gosh.
I never, ever thought I would see a miracle like that in my lifetime.
It's real, Carol, isn't it?
It really is.
Oh, yeah, it's great stuff.
I have other things that have happened when my husband was in the hospital. The phone rang at 5 in the morning, and it got me real nervous, and I tripped and fell. And I was right near a chair that I sat in a lot, and I had pillows on that chair. I fell onto all the pillows. I don't know how they got on the floor.
I see they saved your life. Thanks, Carol. Merry Christmas to you. Miracles do happen, Rosemary, and they happen all the time, don't they?
They do, and I think that we can develop a miracle mind consciousness, and it comes through paying attention to the spiritual side of life and to having daily contact with the messengers, the intermediaries, with God, and all of the intercessory beings who are part of our spiritual faith. Whether it's religious figures or saints, or even praying to our ancestral dead as part of our spirit guardians, all of these forces are present to help us. And it does foster a miracle mind consciousness where we can get that help, where our circumstances can change dramatically, even in the blink of an eye, at a time of great need.
Do you remember the story a few months ago of the young woman who was involved in a car accident, and they're trying to get her out with the jaws of life, but even before they had gotten there, a priest showed up on the scene and kind of blessed her and helped her, and then he disappeared, and nobody had any idea how he even got in through the roadblock, and eventually someone claiming to be the priest popped up days later, but those things happen day in and day out. I mean, they're almost like they're watchers, aren't they?
Yes, and this is one reason why I am convinced that angels are walking the earth all the time, and we don't even realize it because they pass for humans. And the precedence for that can be found in the Bible, where people are visited by beings, people they consider to be mortals. They turn out to be angels, and they have come to accomplish a certain task. And I do remember that story. In fact, we did talk about it on the air a couple of times. I still have reservations about that story. I think that there was a real angelic force at work, and human beings certainly come to the rescue as well. But that woman was helped by a messenger from God, and it was not a human being.
Let's go to Chuck in Newcastle, Pennsylvania. Welcome to the program, Chuck. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call, George. I've listened to you for years, and this is the first time I was able to get through.
Oh, thank you.
I had a miracle that happened to me 61 years ago, and it will support our Christmas season. I had my mom and dad had a small store, grocery store, and it was the day before Easter. She was working in the front office, didn't have time even to prepare the Easter dinner, and asked dad to get the groceries up to the house. And after work, but when she got out of work that night, she would start Easter dinner. I helped carry about 5 or 6 bags of groceries to the house, and dad asked me if I wouldn't mind boiling. There was 3 dozen of Easter eggs in the ice box, and if I would boil them, my sisters would have fun coloring them later. They were at my grandmother's house about 4 doors down from our home, and they were like 3 and 2 years of age. So I said, "Sure, Dad." So I got a pan of water, put it on the stove, and got the eggs out, and I started putting the eggs in the water. About the second or third egg, it floated. A big white egg was floating. I pressed down on it, and it came back up, and I was the water was still cold, of course. Called Dad over and repeated. I said, "Dad, I think there might be a peep in here." So I said, "I'll take it downstairs." We had a bathroom downstairs off the recreation room. I said, "It gets kind of messy since the food hadn't been put away."
Yeah.
So I took the egg downstairs. We had a bathroom down there. And One tap on that snake edge, and I can't do it to this day. That egg split perfectly in the yolk of my right hand. There was no peep, but then I noticed something strange starting to happen. The yellow in the yolk started to change to a very shiny gold. And immediately, a pattern formed around the yolk about a quarter of an inch wide, like a diamond shape with pink lines showing the elongated diamond shape, but a quarter of an inch wide with deep purple in the middle. Then the face of the crucified Christ appeared in that yolk. And the closest picture that I could ever find that looked exactly like him, had a little hop in the top of his nose there, is the Limpias crucifix from Spain. It's a work of an unknown Spanish artist that was venerated in the Church of St. Peter of Limpias, and that was back in 1775. And it looked just almost like it, but his hair was wet and black. His eyes were fixed upwards. The thorns were so sharp looking on that crown. There was three drops of blood on his forehead. His beard was black and wet, and his eyes were fixed upwards, and my heart was pounding. I said, I'm not dreaming. And I started yelling for my dad. And I went upstairs with the yolk in my hand, with the egg in my hand. And I went to the kitchen. He said, what's the matter, Chuck? And I put my hand. I said, Dad, what do you see? He took one look. He said, it's the face of Christ.
He saw it too.
I had to show Karen and Alexi. And I ran out of the house. Instead of walking with it back to my grandmother's, I was running like a 100-yard dash.
You're lucky you didn't spill it, huh?
I stopped in the middle of the street. I said, oh, no, don't run. And I looked. It was smeared.
Yep. That's it.
It was smeared.
Hey, you got far enough with that in your hand.
Well, there's 13 priests in my family tree. I'm a Maronite Catholic. We go back to the shepherds in the fields at the time of Christ. My father's grandfather's sister was St. Charbel's mother. Wow. So this is something I think God's DNA kicked it forth. I saw that, I believe, but people don't realize he's real.
That's
so real, and he's real. The Bible's real,
yeah.
And everything in that Bible is absolutely truth. And we do. Rosemary is right on target. Everything she is saying about evil spirits, we have to realize that we were selected to be here. He knew us before he formed us in our mother's womb. Whatever Bruce Wilkinson, a Baptist minister, wrote that wonderful book, You Were Born for This. I got a clue from him. He said there are no coincidences providing in this world. You see, you get up in the morning and say, Lord, what can I do for you today? And believe me, George, it works.
It does work, Chuck, and you are absolutely right. There are no coincidences. You know, Rosemary, I learned that a long, long time ago.
I agree, George, that everything has a purpose and that things come together in meaningful ways. The universe really is a magical place, and when we align ourselves with spirit, with God, forces are set in motion that bring us into amazing circumstances, and it is very purposeful. And spirit manifests in the physical world in these ways where we are reminded in a way that's very powerful for us about the presence of God in on earth and in daily life. And images will show up on things. Images will form in photographs. We will see the presence of angels and God in the clouds. These are very real, and they are manifestations of spirit.
Well, no doubt about that. Teresa is in Boulder, Colorado, where we tape our television shows. Hi, Teresa.
Hello. How are you tonight? Merry
Great.
Christmas.
You too, Teresa. Thank you.
Okay. What I have to say is that I have had some really high ideals that I have managed to live up to in my life. And what I have found is that I attract really negative people. And I wonder where the angels are. And do I have to be a lesser person in order to survive happily in this world? I'm having a hard time.
Well, what do you think of that, Rosemary? What does she do?
We all have varying degrees of challenges, and I've always believed that we come into life with a plan, with a blueprint, and some of us set very tough courses for ourselves, and the challenges that one person faces
are not the same as another person. And all we have to do is look around us to see that some people are challenged a lot. But I believe that we are never given anything that we can't handle, and God is always present, and especially through his intermediaries, to help us with those things. It's sort of like being on a fast track for spiritual progress and growth. And the reasons for that, we may not even know that until we get to the other side. But angels are always present, and sometimes I think it's a matter of changing perspective, that we might be looking for them in certain ways or certain places when they're really somewhere else. And so we have to look in another direction or broaden our perspective to see how the presence is playing out in our lives with a helping hand. So chin up, and I would say, you know, you've got a lot of spiritual help around you, and that there are reasons why we have the challenges we do. And the important thing is to get through them and become better for it.
Rosemary, do angels ever lose their cool?
In a way, yes. they can become exasperated.
Yeah.
And actually, there's a very good story about the Archangel Michael, who has a role functioning as the angel of death. And when it is the patriarch Abraham's time to go, this story is told in the Testament of Abraham, which is an ex-canonical text. And Michael goes to fetch his soul, and Abraham doesn't want to go. Now, Michael appears in the guise of a man at first, and so Abraham sets a feast for him. And it's a way of delaying, you know. It's like, well, if I ask him to do all these things, you know, then I don't have to go. And so Michael gets a little flummoxed, and, you know, how is he going to eat? He's an angel. He's not supposed to eat food. And so God says, well, don't worry about it. Just go back, and, you know, I'll send a devouring spirit to give the illusion of eating. And so Abraham comes up with one thing after another to delay his death. And then finally, of course, he does have to go. But it does try Michael's patience a bit. To do the job that he was sent to do.
You know, the those stories of, you know, you get to the golden gates, the pearly gates, and, you know, one of the angels, the archangels, you know, either lets you in or sends you back down. How did that ever start?
You know, I'm not really sure how that, what the origins are of that story. And
it's a great story.
Your worthiness of whether or not you can pass through St. Peter's Gate. But I do believe that in the afterlife, we participate in our own soul review and our own assessment of how well we've done. Information that is transmitted from people who've gone to the other side through mediums, through direct contact with the living, indicate that there is spiritual help, angels who assist us in our adjustments in the afterlife and our review of how well we did and the things that we still need to work on as souls.
All right, Rosemary, we're going to come back with you in just a moment. We have to hit the break, but we'll be back with final calls in a moment. Beyond Belief, that's our television show. You can watch it for free for 10 days, but you get to watch my interview with Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus, so you might as well have some fun tomorrow. Turn it on, hook it up to your flat screen, and watch it via the Internet. Simply go to this website, beyondbelief.com, beyondbelief.com, and have a view. It's 10 days free. Back in a moment. And welcome back to Coast with Rosemary Ellen Guiley, our very special guest here. This is our final segment with her before I go into special Miracle Open Lines with you next hour. Rosemary, it's incredible the hats you wear. You go from being the Encyclopedia of Dreams expert to angels to demons. I mean, you've got to be Ms. Paranormal.
They all fit together in the long run. And no matter where you start on your spiritual path, if you stay on it long enough and go deep enough, you wind up encountering all of these things. And in regard to the dark side, I have always felt that it is essential to be well armored with information. And so that's been very much a part of my work. But I've had many experiences of a mystical nature that I think would rival many of the saints. I've had many encounters with angels. And it's important for me to know about the dark side in order to help people with their problems. And that's where angels come in to my aid as well, to help me with that work.
Well, I was going to say, have you ever, because you dabble in the dark side so much, you're like a human Ouija board, have you ever, have you ever been in trouble?
Well, I've certainly encountered some very negative, powerful, malevolent spirits out there. And some of them have been attached to people trying to influence them, even cases of possession. I've encountered them in haunted locations where they have pestered people who have had the misfortune to live in those locations. And yes, some of it does rub off. If you investigate these things, well, then the very things that you're trying to help people with and to educate and protect people against will turn on you. And so that's why it's been very important for me to constantly reinforce my connection to God and the angelic realm, who are they're an incredible spiritual force. They also foster the ability to bring forth your own strength and protection. And that's part of our spiritual task as well. That we have to be able to call up those angelic qualities from within us in order to be fully protected as well. This is why angels don't pull our chestnuts out of the fire. They don't do the job for us. They help us do our job, and they help us do it in the best way that we can.
Let's go to Prescott, Arizona. First-time caller Ron is with us. Merry Christmas, Ron, and thank you for calling.
And a Merry Christmas to all of you from the beautiful highlands of Arizona here.
Perfect.
You know, George, I have to admit or confess that I'm not quite a first-time caller. I started listening to Art in the early 90s, and I think I called in once back then and heard your first time in the chair, and kind of changed my life with Coast over the years. And I thank you and Art and all the rest.
You are welcome. And you're on the first time line, so go for it.
Well, they say sometimes that people marry well. And, George, I have to say, with Rosemary, I think you co-authored really well. She's amazing.
She sure is.
So I'd like to just briefly lead to one important question. My growth, the spiritual growth, has been, I grew up French Catholic, Acadian, Canadian, and at 20, I joined the Mormon Church and spent 30 years there and started listening to Coast as I was a maintenance engineer at the temple in Portland there. And as my understanding continued to grow and develop, I took training with Major Dames and Eric Pearl and Dr. Stan Dale, couple times, and eventually realized that all things were not that well in Salt Lake. But I moved here to Arizona, and shortly thereafter was introduced to a book from a guy who was about 75 years old, martial arts instructor, and a really interesting guy. It was the Arantia book, my question, I guess, to Rosemary and to you, George, I think it would be a great subject for a show, but it's so much is in line with what you're speaking of tonight and with so many other guests that I've heard on the show, but I've never heard it mentioned or talked much about.
Well, Rosemary, we did a show once in the Book of Urantia, which is an incredible book that was written by supposedly those people up there. Have you ever investigated that?
I have, yes. And I haven't read it cover to cover, but I've read good chunks of it. And I have it and the Concordix, which you really need to get through the book. And it is a channeled work that presents a different picture of the cosmos and the role of beings who are playing out various destinies. And I think it's quite interesting and is one of the better quality works out there. And there are other works that have been channeled as well with a broader cosmological perspective than the traditional ones that we grow up with. Supposedly, I think the papers for it, I believe, were found in a drawer, these channeled
I think
works,
you're right.
And that's what got it all started. It's for people who are on the spiritual path who want to explore all angles, I highly recommend it. I think it's good to expose yourself to as much information from different perspectives as possible. Helps you make up your own mind about things.
Back to the angels for just a second and the miracles that they pull in. Sometimes these miracles are astronomical. Other times miracles do not occur. Why is that? Why do some people get the miracle, others don't?
It's the most often asked question is why do some people get God's messenger to intercede and other people pray and they don't? And there's no good answer for that other than the tasks that each of us face in our lives, the obstacles that we have to overcome. We often don't know what the big picture is. And part of that big picture, our soul's plan in terms of the challenges that we must face and overcome, might not be getting an instant rescue. We might be helped in some other way. Maybe that angelic help has to come in on the back side of things after we've been knocked down a bit. And we have to overcome it from that perspective rather than avoiding it altogether. So I don't believe that we're ever deserted by a spiritual help. It's around us all the time, and it helps us in the most meaningful way for our individual soul journey. I think that's the best perspective that we have to look at it in, and it's also the perspective that keeps us on the positive side.
Let's go to Pat in Macomb, Michigan. Hey, Pat, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Merry Christmas, and a special hello to George's mom, who's listening here in Metro Detroit area.
Thanks, Pat.
Miss Rosemary, can an angel be both good and evil? And also, could a human suspect that they're an angel, but they don't know that they are yet?
Well, in answer to the first question, in angelologies, perception of the angelic hierarchies that sages and prophets and ordinary humans have dealt with throughout the ages, there are angels who have both in their nature. And in some texts, they're described as bad angels and in others as good angels. And so is one wrong and the other right, or are angels capable of taking on different roles? And maybe it's purposeful for them to take on different roles as a way of constantly keeping people on their toes. Now, in some of the early Hebrew concepts of angels from the Merkabah, there are angels who are hostile. They're not necessarily bad angels, but they're hostile to human beings in terms of getting close to the throne of God. And it is their duty to guard these ascending gates. And the closer one gets to God, the stronger the angels resist against human beings having that access, that these angels are unfriendly to human beings having access to the throne and to paradise. And there are also early stories told about angels objecting to the secrets, the mysteries being given to human beings. So there may be a bit of mixed nature in some angels. We like to think of them all as either on one side or all on the other side in today's views, and that might be the best way for us to relate to the angel kingdom in terms of where we are seeking our spiritual channels. In terms of people being angels, well, in all cosmologies, human beings have physical intercourse with a wide variety of beings, and even stories about angels. And so the precedent is set for some sort of cross between a human and an angel being possible. And could these be on the planet, or could angels incarnate as human beings? And there are people who believe that. And I've even heard from people who say that they have incarnated from the angelic realm. And to me, it's an open question.
You know, if they become fleshy, I wonder if they prefer that, if they prefer our kind of existence. What do you think?
Well, there was that very interesting movie some years ago. Was it So Close Yet So Far Away? I'm not sure I have the title right. But it's about an angel who's watching over, he's one of the angels who watches over human beings, and he gets so wrapped up in the lives of mortals that he falls to Earth. And then the angelic ranks become closed to him. He can't get back. And so I think he has a while where he can make a choice. But it's an interesting concept, and I don't know. I to me, angels are always part of the angelic kingdom, and even when they come and mingle with human beings, they would still have the capability of retaining their angelic vibration and nature.
Let's go to Mark in Westlake, Oregon. We'll take a few more calls here. Go ahead, Mark.
Good evening, George and Rosemary. We're going to have Christmas come into effect here in about 8.5 minutes or so. So,
yes,
Merry Christmas. I want to wish you both really the best New Year yet. And
thank you.
I think you both are the epitome of class. I've heard you on numerous occasions. Just one quick request, George. I wish that you'd have Rosemary on the show much more often, because, like you said, she has an encyclopedic knowledge, and she's a very eloquent speaker, and it would really be wonderful to hear her more often.
Super. We'll do that.
Well, George, Rosemary, I specifically wanted to ask you, I know George is fully aware of this book that Stephen Quayle has written called Genesis 6 Giants. And I'm not sure how familiar you may be with it, Rosemary, but it basically does make the fully evidentiary case as far as scriptural history goes in various books. And I think some of these books are outside of the Bible, per se, written in other civilizations, but also various books of the Bible. Genesis accounts for the origination of, according to the scriptures, what the demons really are, and they're really the progeny of the mating, as you just had mentioned, the mating a few minutes ago, of the fallen angels that fell with Lucifer, a third of the angelic host, in that battle in heaven, to earth, and then they found the human women attractive, and they had intercourse with them, and then out of that came very large men and women. And the evidence of them through history is accounted by various civilizations is very real. But when the giants died in the flood and otherwise, their spirits still exist today. And they're the ghost of the giants, the demons are. I think it's a very interesting pursuit, if you can do it in the future, Rosemary, to actually place where the fallen angels are at today, what their status is. I know that there is at least a large group at the river Euphrates where it conjuncts with the Tigris, I believe, and that's described in Revelation. So that was basically my question to a question. Final question is how do you view this, Rosemary, in your research so far?
The story of the watchers, the who leave their stations, you know, they describe very briefly in Genesis, and then, as I'm sure you're familiar, the books of Enoch, the three versions that are still surviving of the book of Enoch, go into much more detail on that in terms of why they did what they did and what happened, and the Nephilim, the giants, and who were created from that, and they did spread corruption on the land. There seems to be some doubt that all of them perished in the flood, or were in the book of Enoch. God dispatches the archangels Uriel, Raphael, Gabriel, and Michael to bind and punish the watchers and round up the Nephilim. And there are references later on that not all of them may have perished, which would be in agreement with what you're saying, is that, you know, the energy, their presence is still on the planet. And the forces of darkness are around us. And I've never been one to be an alarmist, and I don't see a demon under every bush. But yet, all we have to do is look around us every day to see how these forces are working on the weaknesses of people, and how many people are giving into those temptations. And that could all be springing from some of those roots that you've just talked about. And it's a shame that a lot of the really good information about angels exists outside of the Bible. A lot of the details of angel duties, their functions, some of the interactions they've had with human beings, far more interesting and informative stories are told in these ex-canonical works, which were excluded for a variety of reasons, theological, historical, verification, and whatnot. But yet they do preserve a very interesting history of our interactions with these beings.
Rosemary, go take a little nap and enjoy your Christmas, and thank you for spending a few hours of your Christmas and Christmas Eve with us.
Always a pleasure, George, and Merry Christmas to everyone out there. I've appreciated being your guest so many times over the years, and we always have an interesting conversation.
We sure do, and many more to come. Rosemary Ellen Guiley. Up next for you, of course, is our friend, actor Robert Davi, singing his song, New York City Christmas.